us in this room today don't know much of what it means to be fatherless until we get way up in age. But you know, there are some kids, there are some young boys and girls that are fatherless. And it's a tragedy when it happens that a young boy or young girl never has a daddy for whatever reason. You know, our society today across America is filled with young boys and girls that do not know who their dad is. And it's so foreign to me. And it's so foreign not to have a relationship, a friendly relationship, and a good relationship, a loving relationship with your dad. I enjoyed the time I had with my dad. And I am excited about heaven to get to see him again. And I've enjoyed a good relationship with my kids to the best of my ability and theirs. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we stand in front of God one day, how we handle our children is very, very important in accountability to God. The Bible says here that true religion is, or pure religion is, and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. What it means is to take care of whatever their needs are. Now, Timothy warned over or Paul warned Timothy about the widows. Not everybody is a widow, indeed. There are widows without a husband, but he said the young widows sometimes have a tendency to go back and marry again. There wasn't anything wrong with that. A widow that the church is to take care of is somebody that is truly a widow, has no living relatives, no nephews, no sons, no way for her to gather an income, and the church was chargeable to her to take care of her. And I must say this, I think the church is still chargeable to God to take care of widows indeed. Not widows, but widows indeed. I'm thankful today for the good report of the church and that many of you have elderly parents that you take care of. And that is an honorable thing. That is an honorable thing. I thank God for my two sisters who look carefully after my mother. I think sometimes too carefully. But they look carefully after her. And I'm grateful for that. And there will be a reward in heaven for that. But you know, there may be somebody out there in this world that doesn't have a son or a daughter, doesn't have a nephew or a niece to take care of them in their time of need. God said this is the type of widows that I'm talking about. I think today that religion has become so much about getting instead of giving, at least in the eyes of the world. Now there are plenty of good churches across America that are always trying to minister to the needs of people. There are good churches across America that are always trying to minister to the needs of people. But many times their goodness and their good deeds are overshadowed by those that are trying to be scoundrels in the matter and take advantage of people. And I believe there's a severe judgment from God on those who take advantage of the widow and the fatherless. In fact, the Bible warns about it. I'll just read you the verse. It's tucked away back here in the Bible, and it's just an amazing thing that God, out of all the things that he's concerned about people, isn't he? The Bible says back here in this verse of Scripture, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the widows, or the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. In that was Psalm 146, but in Psalm 65, the Bible says this. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God, for our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends. And that is not the verse. Somewhere, if the writer would write down correctly, is a verse about the widows. Somewhere is the verse about the widows. Let me see if it's this one. some knucklehead that wrote these notes. You know, when you're dyslexic, you get older as you're dyslexic. As I get older, I'm getting dyslexic. And so if I ever write down something, I have to look at it three times, or in pride I say I'll never mess that up and mess it up. Yeah, this is a work, but this ain't the one I wrote down somewhere. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the field of the fatherless. Oh, here it is. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Then look over in, since you're not looking anyway, look over in Exodus 22. Exodus 22. I know this one's there because I know where it's at. I've got it underlined. This is right after the Ten Commandments, obviously. And no, this is the one I wanted in the first place. I don't know where that one in Psalm 65 is at. Somewhere there in Psalms 65 or 95 or 85 or one of them that ends with a 5 is something about the widows, all right? Look in your Bible in Exodus chapter number 22. If you don't know where Exodus is, start at the right and go all the way to the left, all right? And you'll run into it. Verse 21, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, let me put that in modern terms, you do anything to them, and they cry at all unto me, at all, they make a whimper to me. I'll surely hear their cry, and I will blister the hide off of you. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword. My goodness. That seems kind of drastic. Huh. I read it again. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. I just think maybe we ought to take note that God's kind of serious about this little thing matter here, isn't he? I don't think the moral law of God has changed at all. A few weeks ago, my mother got her bank statement and looked at it, and my mom had spent hundreds of dollars in California. And my mom gets frantic, calls the bank and calls my sister and says, we are going to the bank. And goes to the bank and finds out some character has scammed her identity and spent her money, and she's ready to go to California. And she ain't moving to Beverly. She's going to find somebody and skin them. But you know, there's scammers that are always targeting older people. Now, God said, you better leave the widows and the fatherless alone. He said, or I'll kill you. You know, there's a lot of heartaches that sometimes big investments and popular and powerful people go through because they mess with the widow and the fatherless. And not only do they get it here, but then they have all of eternity to wait for judgment as well. So you say, well, preacher, what can we do? Well, I don't know that this is all that pure religion and undefiled before God contains, but I'll tell you what, it is, of course, an important part of it. And the church ought to be sensitive and aware of the needs of people that are in this shape. If you are a child, the Bible says, if you are a child, God will be a father to you. If you've lost your mother and dad, God will be a father unto you. And I'm grateful tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that our Heavenly Father is a father of all fathers. Amen. He is not only a King of kings and a Lord of lords, but He is a Father of all fathers. He is the greatest example of a father, one who loves children, one who loves and cares. The disciples said, "Don't bring them little children, them little scoundrels around here." Jesus said, "Boys, suffer the little children to come unto me. Just let them come on. I'll touch them. I'll pat their head. I'll hold them." Did y'all see this thing on the web this week where that Catholic priest took that little baby and I mean that little dude was screaming. He smacked that little kid two or three times, and finally that daddy had enough sense to grab that kid out of his hands. I think I'd have grabbed a hold of that priest and worked him over a little bit. Amen. Said, "Preacher, that's bad." "Oh, I agree it's bad for him to smack that little kid. That's the only thing I agree that's bad out of all of that." And I'm just here to tell you, you know, God is very concerned about children and about these widows, these fatherless and these widows. So that's the first part of getting your hands dirty. But while you're getting your hands dirty, you got to make sure your heart stays clean. Keep himself unspotted from the world. There's a personal responsibility for personal holiness given here. Everyone in this room today is going to account to God for their Christian life, how they lived before God, how they acted before God, not only their conduct, but their heart. The Bible says that God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the heart. James warns in James chapter 4 and verse number 4 to be careful to be a friend of the world. I believe there's a lot of people today that are too friendly with the world. They look more like the world than they look like the Lord. And God still teaches us about separation in the Bible. It's still a Bible doctrine. I don't care what people call it. They can call it legalism, and that's the biggest fake term that there is. Legalism has to do with salvation by works, by the law. God expects His people to be holy people and to be separated people in every area of their life. I was reading an article may have been the Sword of the Lord, I can't remember now, where social drinking has become an acceptable thing in many churches of all kinds. But you know, God's still against it. And this preacher's still against it. And I'm still going to preach against it. And if you're doing it, you're in sin. And no matter if it's wine or beer or whiskey, homemade or store-bought, it's all bad. It's all sin. So we become friendly with the world. And all of a sudden our friendship to the world begins to turn into a love affair with the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so the Bible tells us not to be a friend of the world and not to love the world. Now he's not talking about people. He's talking about this world system that is against God. Then in Romans 12, 2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I don't want you to be a friend of the world, don't want you to love the world, but if you become a friend of the world and you begin to love the world, you'll begin to be conformed to the world. You'll begin to do what the world likes to do. And I'll read this one to you. Just so we understand the severity of the world. Should have marked it, but I didn't. So here it is. Lord willing. And I wrote it down right. I'm not sure I did. Here we go. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." It'd be a sad thing to be condemned with the world. as a believer. So personal holiness. Boy, preacher, I've been out here visiting. I've been out here doing. All right, wonderful. How about your personal life now? How about your heart? Is your heart clean? See, there's a lot of folks today that want to do one or the other. But God requires both of them to be done at the same time. To ministering to people while keeping yourself clean on the inside. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. I read the verse, but we'll just read it again. Romans chapter 12, and then I got three more verses to read, and we'll call it a night. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." There is a call for a transforming of your mind. You cannot, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be like Christ and have the mind of the world. The Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. No man, no woman, boy or girl that is born again of the Spirit of God can have the world's mind and also have the mind of Christ. Bible says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So we have to be a transformed person. That happens at salvation, and that happens day after day after day after day. As we get into the world and into the Word, and as we separate from the world, our mind becomes transformed to think more like Christ and less like our natural mind would have us to do. Turn in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says in Galatians 1 and verse number 4, speaking of the Lord Jesus who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. This world that we're living in is an evil world. It is filled with sin. Young people, old people alike, we are constantly bombarded by the evil of this world. And God came and sent his Son to deliver us from that. And we ought to accept the deliverance that's in Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse number 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse number 22. Bible says this, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. And then if you would turn over to Jude, verse number 20. Jude and verse number 20. Verse 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, personal responsibility, praying in the Holy Ghost, the only kind of praying there is, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God is what the Bible says. Personal responsibility. As we conclude chapter 1 in the book of James, we find there's a test given to all believers. If what you say you believe is real. The test is if you say you're religious and you haven't done nothing to help others, you haven't done nothing to be a blessing to others. Now that blessing to others is not a way of salvation. It's not that we say, boy, you know, the Bible says there'll be many who say on that day, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. No, he's not talking about working to get to heaven. He's talking about working since you've been saved. What have you done since you've been saved that benefits others? Have you kept yourself unspotted from the world? Have you kept your tongue in check? You kept your thoughts right? How easy it is to get sidetracked in the things of the world and forget the needs of those about us. It's too easy to overlook what other people have gone through. Too easy to overlook the needs of others because we're always thinking about us. So don't be one-sided or the other-sided, but bring them all together and live a balanced Christian life. Father, thank you for the day. Bless this time around the Word of God. Not a one of us in this room, Lord, deserves to be saved. Thank God for the grace of God that saved me from sin. Lord, I'm glad today that I'm on my way to heaven. Glad I got out of the prison by the grace of God. Glad, Lord, I've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ clothing me tonight. Lord, I surely want to be the kind of Christian that pleases you. Help me, God, to have a heart that's filled with love and compassion for those about me. Help me, Lord, to take personal responsibility for my life and keep myself clean in this world. A lot of religion out here that defiles us. A lot of religion out here, Lord, that destroys. Thankful, Lord, you led me to a place that was right. Thank you for the Bible tonight. I surely want to honor the Word. So, Lord, we pray for those that are widows and fatherless. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them. And, Father, as we try to minister to the needs of them and others, God, help us to stay clean. In Christ we pray. Miss Rachel's playing hymn of invitation.